series on Christian meditation with Roger Owens. We feel like we've become even better friends from this sort of intimate setting via Zoom. And I think we've learned a lot and look forward to tying it up with you, Roger. So thank you.
You do get to know one another when you're in that room together and you shake hands and you chat, but you get to know one another in a different way when you see the books on their shelves or whether they make their bed or what their family room, right? You're getting a different kind of look into people's lives. And so it's been really wonderful to be with you the last couple weeks, and I'm looking forward to being with you again today. You know, I like to start with a poem, and I tried to find one. Ted, could you let me share my screen? I think the last couple times I've been here, I've used my favorite Denise Levertov poem. So I try to find one that you haven't at least heard me use before. So there we go. let me just get the, so as usual, I invite you simply to, as I read this, let it be a time of meditation, right? This isn't, so just listen in an open way. It's a short poem by Mary Oliver. It's very likely you're familiar with her poetry, from a little book of hers called Thirst, my favorite book of her poetry. Just listen in an open way. I'll give you a minute to reread it on your own, and then afterwards we'll simply, if you have any reactions to it or anything that stuck out to you, images or words or phrases, we'll have some time to share that. The poem is called Praying by Mary Oliver. I'll give you a chance if you need to adjust the little squares on your screen so you can see it. Praying. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot, or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch a few words together, and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. Just take a minute on your own to reread that and see what sticks out to you. So simple, so straightforward. As you chew on that poem, is there anything that sticks out to you that you notice speaks to you? Go ahead, Drew. Yeah.
I love the whole thing, and I'm focusing on the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. I try to get to that place, but I never can make the silence last too long until something in my brain starts chiming in. So I'd love to be able to stay in silence, and, in case another voice will speak.
Right. Yeah, thank you. I love that line, a doorway into thanks.
And I'll just mention that the poem is part of the handout, right, Roger? Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's in the handout.
And I just uploaded that to the chat, so you can grab it out of the chat box if you want.
Anna, were you going to say something? Like you might. Anna, were you going to say something? You're on mute. You're muted, too. I was muted as well.
Thank you. Yeah. Now, I was going to say, it just reminds me of praying with icons and the fact that everything in creation is an icon.
Yes, and those are doorways, right?
Doorways, yeah.
Windows, yeah.
I think that second part about don't try to make the words elaborate, this isn't a contest, speaks to me loudly.
Yeah, I know that at one time I talked with you about a posture for spiritual formation. And one of, this was maybe 2 years ago, and one of the postures I suggested was this not position of non-judgment, right? And that's a way of expressing it. This is not a contest. We don't need to compare ourselves to others. And I often hear, especially when I was pastoring churches, folks who were reticent to pray or pray aloud because they didn't feel like they could do it as beautifully as someone else could, or right? And the invitation here is just permission giving, right? To the simplicity. It doesn't have to, I mean, it can be just small stones or weeds, right? Pay attention, patch, look at that word, patch a few words together. I mean, this isn't writing a villanelle or a sonnet. This is just in the moment, letting gratitude for what is just simply emerge. Yeah. One of the things I liked about this poem, just in my spiritual formation class with my students last week, we were reading a chapter in a book on just prayer, and it was called Conversation and Communion. And we often think of prayer as conversation with God, right? Especially speaking to God. What am I going to say? This reminds us that conversation is both two ways, that there's listening involved. And that leads us to the idea of communion with God, right? That we don't have to be talking all the time. Sometimes just sharing time and space with another is the depth of relationship. And so those last lines about being invited into a silence where we're simply communing with God, I think is an entree, a way of entering into our conversation for today, which is finishing up our thinking about meditation in the Christian tradition. So we've talked a little bit about some historical moments, places in scripture where we're invited to attend to the present, to be fully present rather than worrying about the past or the future. And we looked at some moments in Christian history, especially when monks, but not just monks, gave us kind of strategies for praying that helped to ground us in the present, to be attentive to what is before us or the presence of God in our midst, strategies using a word, repeating a word, paying attention to our breath. And we looked a little at just very briefly at what we call the theology for a Christian meditation. And that is that God is closer to us than our very breath. God is with us before we even begin to search. God is the ground of our search for God. God is transcendently close to us, even if in a hidden way. And so we don't have to do something to get God here. God is not absent from us. Martin Laird called this the kind of myth, the illusion. We feel like God is absent mostly because we spend so much of our times living in our own mind, which we mistake for reality. And that gives us the feeling of separation from God, but God is not separate from us. God is present. And what meditation does is invites us to awaken to, and I like to say enjoy, awaken to and enjoy the reality of God's gracious presence and love with us even now. And then I promised at the very first day that we would get to some strategies, some actual practice, and that we would even do that together. So today I'm going to talk through two different ways of entering the silence, of entering meditation, and we'll take a couple, a few minutes each time to practice one of those and just talk about how it goes. So that's the plan for today. So I hope, especially with the handout has some of this on it, that when you're done today, you of course won't feel like master meditators, whatever that is, you know, but that you would feel a little more empowered or equipped to spend time in communion with God in silence and have a sense of where you might go or what you might do next if you wanted to go deeper in this way of praying with God. So let me remind you those two kind of ways. You remember the image I shared last time of the two pathways of Christian meditation. One is this open awareness, right? It's not using the mind to focus in on something, but it's being radically open and available to whatever arises, whether it's a sound from the outside or a thought or feeling from within. It doesn't cling to it or push it away. It just lets it be. And then there's another pathway into meditation, which is a more concentrated awareness, using a word or an image to focus one's attention so that we can be less distracted by those thoughts that we keep talking about over and over again. So those are the two ways we're going to actually talk about doing them today. But I also feel like I think we'll skip Thomas Merton. How about that? We should remind ourselves of what I call the myth of meditation, because it's persistent. And the myth is that to meditate, you have to clear your mind and quiet your thoughts. That I just had a student last week. We talked about silence in my class for Christian spirituality. And she emailed me the next day, even though I tried to be as clear as possible about this. Maybe she was on her phone or something. She said, "Now, Professor Owens, I forget. Am I supposed to try to banish thoughts from my mind, to clear my mind of thoughts?" And I thought, ugh, because we can't do that. And the more we try, the more we fight with the thoughts, the more tenaciously they cling, right? That's a kind of attachment. When you're fighting with something, right, you're still holding on to it. So don't fight it. Just acknowledge that there will be thoughts and they're not a problem, right? So if that's the myth, the reality is that meditation has nothing to do with getting rid of thoughts. It's about noticing and not holding on to them. It's about learning to not mistake your thoughts for reality and to cling to them, right? So that you can get over this myth, this illusion that you're separate from God. After doing this for a while, there actually might be some moments, minutes even, when you don't have thoughts and you do really enter that silence. And you can enjoy that, but don't cling to that either, because another thought's going to come and you're going to be mad because you're going to be like, I had the silence and then it's gone. No, just there's another thought. Let it go. And so that's the heart of this. Both of these ways, whether the open awareness end of the spectrum or the concentrated attention, are avenues into that kind of this kind of practice of dealing with our thoughts. So I want to look together. Let me see. Let me make sure I look at my notes before I tend to skip things if I don't look at my notes. I want to look together at just one paragraph from a book by James Finley called Christian Meditation. It's really an excellent book. So if you're interested in exploring this further, this would be a book to get. It's been around a long time. James Finley, Christian Meditation. That should be on the handout with the quotation. Where he gives what he calls beginner's guidelines to meditation. And this would be in the open awareness category. Right, the wide end of the arrow, not the narrow end. So we're going to begin there, the wide end of the arrow. So just listen to his words. I hope you can see that. If not, you might need to move the images of people to the top of your screen if you can do that. And this quotation is on your handout, so you can use this later on in your practice. He writes, "The guidelines for meditation practice that I suggest are, with respect to the body, to sit still, to sit straight, to close your eyes or lower them toward the ground, to breathe slowly, naturally, and to place your hands in a natural or meaningful position in your lap. With respect to the mind, the guideline is to be present, open and awake, neither clinging to nor rejecting anything. And with respect to attitude, the guideline is to maintain non-judgmental compassion toward yourself as you experience yourself clinging to and rejecting everything, and non-judgmental compassion toward others in their powerlessness, one with yours." I mean, he has put so much that is foundational to any approach to prayer in this little paragraph that I want to unpack some of it. First, the body. There's not a right way or a wrong way to hold your body in prayer. You could lay down on the floor. You could sit on a couch. But those who practice for a while, their experience suggests that an alert but comfortable posture, one that helps you to be awake and alert and aware, but that isn't prone to too many aches and pains, which themselves can be distracting. Some of us, we can't avoid aches and pains however we sit. And I know that's the case. So to sit straight with your back straight, close your eyes or lower them towards the ground. People play with that. Some find that with their eyes open, maybe just loosely in an unfocused way at a kind of middle distance, they're less distracting thoughts. Some folks find with their eyes closed, they have less distracting thoughts. To place your hands in a natural or meaningful position in your lap. So a natural, meaningful position for me is sometimes just with my hands kind of cupped in my lap in this way, as a gesture, a sign of my intention to be open to whatever is, right? Just resting my, or just my hands open on my thighs. That's a meaningful position for me. But you could sit there with your hands on your thighs, just simply palms down if that's comfortable. So you might want to play with what is comfortable for you and what seems meaningful. Probably most importantly is this bit about with respect to the mind. Notice it doesn't say, this goes back to our myth, it doesn't say with respect to the mind, the guideline is to have no thoughts. Notice that, right? It does not say that. Because if I told you to sit for 4 minutes and not have any thoughts, I think we've been through this, you would have lots and lots of thoughts. You couldn't do it. So it says, with respect to the mind, the guideline is to be present, open, and awake, neither clinging to nor rejecting anything. This is why it's the open awareness category, neither clinging to. So you have a thought that, let's say for me, it might be a thought of appetizer of crab rangoon from Taipei, the Chinese restaurant near me, okay? Right? That's a thought I would cling to, right? My stomach is growling right now, in fact, now that I mention it, right? And so this thought pops into my mind, I realize I'm hungry, and I cling to that thought by kind of just going with it. You know, I keep thinking about how hungry I am. I imagine the crab rangoon and the hot crab meaty cream cheesy filling and the way the dough is so crispy on the edges from being deep fried and how wonderful it is with just a little bit of duck sauce, but also that spicy mustard that's going to clean out my side. Right. I mean, there's a right. First, it's just the thought crab rangoon, I'm hungry, but then I can choose to cling to that thought and turn it into, and now I'm at a buffet of crab rangoon and 5 minutes. Do you understand what I'm saying? What the difference between kind of what it means to cling to a thought? I mean, I told my students last week, sometimes I sit out on this back patio and I like to just, for me, that's an open awareness place with my eyes open. And I can just, I like to watch whatever it is that goes by, the clouds, the birds, the chipmunks, without following any one of them. Right? And that's like what a thought is like. They just come by, the clouds or the, like a bird flying by, and you can't control that. On the other hand, when I'm out there, I could see a bird that's interesting to me or maybe one I can't identify. And so I grab my binoculars and I chase the bird and I keep following the bird and I'm looking for it. And eventually I'm in the forest and I don't know where I am anymore and I'm lost. I'm trying to find this bird. And that's what it's like to get lost in a thought, right? To follow that thought and chase it and hang out with it. And then suddenly you realize, oh my goodness, I'm in this forest and I don't even know how I got here. This has happened to all of us. It happens when you're driving to the grocery store and you get lost in a thought, and a mile past the grocery store, you kind of wake up and you say, oh my goodness, I was going to the grocery store, but I was lost in the thought, clinging. Neither clinging to, right, nor rejecting. Rejecting would be when that thought comes in your mind that's not attractive. Anger, or, well, sometimes anger is very attractive, actually. We cling to that easily. But maybe a sexual thought, or a thought of a traumatic thought, a memory of a past hurt, right, that we want to push away. We think it's a temptation, and we fight it, right? We want to get rid of it. Same thing. You're still wrestling with a thought. You still get lost in it, right? Neither clinging to nor rejecting anything. I'm just curious. I want to pause there because I think I've said stuff very similar to this over and over. And I just want to see, I mean, does this make sense? What it means to, it's not about trying not to have thoughts. So silence can happen. There can be a real peacefulness even when there are lots of thoughts in the mind. Because the peace comes from not clinging to or fighting the thoughts, right? We're just peacefully watching. It's like watching it's like sitting behind a waterfall and watching the water cascade down, or watching a river go by with boats on it. You don't have to follow the boat. You can just watch them go by in a very peaceful stance. Does that make sense? Does that seem, do you see the distinction I'm trying to make? Because it's really critical to this practice.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It makes sense to me. I especially find that when I'm not necessarily quiet, but I'm doing repetitive work in the garden, and I just kind of lose myself in whatever it is I'm doing and kind of just move on to something else without even thinking about it. My mind is somewhere else. And then I end up being refreshed.
Indeed.
I also do that grocery store thing. I can't tell you how many times.
I know. So it's no mistake that prayer beads, the monks in the desert would weave baskets or plait reeds, or that knitting or crochet, something that has a repetitive physical practice to it can help with this.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of Sarah telling me about a book she was reading. I think it was by who's the mystery author, who describes a character who is sitting through a sermon that is not engaging her, and so she begins to mentally redecorate her living room.
Right. Yes, exactly. So that would be, I mean, she finds herself lost in the thought. I typically find myself just preaching my own sermon to myself. I just think, oh, wait, this one's not working, but I can do this. So I just preach my own little gospel to myself. And then, right. So we our thoughts can take us many, many places. And this is an invitation to be here without chasing the thoughts and as a way of being present to God. So what's tricky is in this way of open awareness, the question is, what do you do when you realize that you're lost in a thought? And the invitation is usually to either bring your attention back to your breathing, not to focus on it in a constant way, we're going to get to that, but just as a way of releasing the thought. Bring your attention back to your breath as a way of kind of coming back to the present. And then once you've done that, once you've kind of released the thought, you've noticed, you can even name the thought. You can say, oh, there's anger, or there's judgment, or there's fantasy, or there's hunger, or whatever. Name the thought, bring your attention back to your breath, and once you're kind of centered here again, then you can kind of let your attention go and resume that posture of open awareness. The other strategy would be, rather than using the breath, to use a word. So maybe Abba or Shalom, or this would be the centering prayer approach, right? To introduce just a sacred word into your mind that helps you to let go of the thought and reminds you of your intention to be open and present to God in this moment. So bring your attention back to your breath, or gently speak a word, Abba or Jesus or Shalom or peace in your mind. Don't keep repeating the word. We're going to talk about that method. This is just to say it once or perhaps twice to yourself as a way of releasing the thought and coming back to the present before that posture of openness, open awareness. And then, of course, he says, with respect to attitude, non-judgment. Because it's very tempting, right? It's not a contest from the prayer we just, or from the poem. Not a contest, right? So you get lost in 4 minutes. You find yourself lost in thought 300 times. Well, that's just 300 times you have an opportunity to return to the present, to be back with God, right? So you just do that. And when you're done, you don't say, oh, that was a good meditation because I didn't have a lot of thoughts, or that was a bad one because I had a lot of thoughts. You just say, it is what it is. It was that time. And I did my best to be open and available to God right here in the present. Does this make any sense? All right. Well, what I'd like us to do is, it's going to be 3 minutes, but it's possible if this isn't a way of being with God, 3 minutes could feel like a very long time. So I'm going to introduce us. I'm going to lead us into a movement where we get to spend that 3 minutes in silence. And I'll keep time so you don't need to look at your watch. And then we'll come back out of it. And afterwards, I would just love us to have a kind of little workshop and say, how was it? What was it like? You know. So just remember the kind of the movement here is to watch without judgment whatever's there. And when you find yourself lost in the thought, you wake up to that, you release the thought by returning to your breath or saying a word in your mind. Use the word shalom for today so you don't have to spend 10 minutes thinking, what word should I say, right? Just shalom. Or come to your breath, that could be the easiest. And then you resume that posture, okay? So I'm going to invite us simply to find that comfortable but alert posture. Wherever you are, try to find that comfortable but alert posture, sitting upright if you can. Put your hands in a meaningful position in your lap, maybe on your thighs or cupped open as a sign of your intention to be open and present to God. As a way of touching the present right now, just bring your attention to your breath. Notice your breathing. You can close your eyes or have them half open looking in the distance. I usually close mine. And now, no longer holding your attention on your breath, just simply be open and present to whatever arises for the next 3 minutes. When thoughts come, just watch them float by. When you find yourself lost in a thought, just come back to the present by noticing your breath again or saying the word shalom. You might want to gently wiggle your fingers. Feel your breath again. Turn your head or raise your shoulders. A little stretch after that mid-morning break with God. perhaps open your eyes. Now we've spent 3 minutes, and I'm curious. I would just love to hear how that was. What happened there? Try not to use judging words like I was bad at it or I was good at it, but just descriptive. What was that like?
Myself, this is Sandy. I find myself thinking, I need to be doing something. I'm not used to not doing. And so I keep thinking that this is time I could be doing something. And if I'm just sitting and not thinking even, that's not doing. And so I'm not sure where I am.
Thanks, Sandy. Yeah, it's in a doing culture, and for especially for doing personalities, it can be very uncomfortable to simply allow ourselves the gift of not doing. Allow ourselves the gift of 3 or 4 or 5 minutes of just being, right? Of letting go of doing and just being who we are without accomplishing something. It can be very uncomfortable. Thank you for naming that. How about others? How was that?
I just found myself going from thought to another thought. I think it's a little bit like when I lay down in bed and go to sleep for the night, you know, the thoughts just kind of come one over the other. But I did what you said when that happens, to just concentrate on your breathing and then sit back for a minute and another thought comes.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. And, you know, there are two ways. Sometimes the thoughts come and they move along and there's just this train of thought and we're not lost in it. So that's we can just be with that. It's like watching on your handout, I have the image of debris floating by on a river, watching debris float by on a river. But sometimes we get into the river and we swim out to a piece of the debris because it's real interesting and we climb on it. Right. And we get lost in it. Right. And that's when we use that word, that breath, then to come back. So, yeah. Thank you, Marilyn. Drew, it looked like you were going to say something.
A couple things. First of all, I found myself thinking, oh, this feels so good. Why don't I do it more often? And then I also was aware of the, when the thoughts, I was telling myself, just, you know, let go of that, go back to your breathing. And I almost had a sense that the thought got really small and it was just waiting in the background. It was just, you know, like going to the back of the room and just, okay, I'll wait till you're done. You know, you can't get rid of me that easily.
Well, I think that's a beautiful expression. And I find something similar because my thinking was always about what am I going to say next in 3 minutes? I've got to turn this off and talk about something. But it wasn't the thoughts and the words came, but they were muted. It was like they were in the room, but they weren't, I wasn't hanging out with them. They just came and they kind of flowed along. I guess that's another kind of image, right? I mean, you can have let's say you have a 3-year-old in the room, and you're trying to read a book, right? You can read your book with the noise of the 3-year-old in the room. Or you can decide to put your book away and get down on the floor and play Legos with the 3-year-old. Well, so let's pretend in thought, in meditation, the 3-year-old is our thoughts. And we can be in silence and the 3-year-old can be in the room and making noise, and we can still be present with that. But we get lost in the thought when we decide to get out of our chair, get on the floor and play Legos with the thoughts. That's when we're clinging to or rejecting. So once again, it's that very subtle, how are the thoughts? Are we just noticing them, aware of them, letting them float by and disappear? And then they're like cloud formations. They arise, they change shape, they move away, and we can really notice that. Or we can kind of really cling to them. All right. Anybody else want to say how that was before we turn to our next kind of way in?
Interesting. The birds outside our window were making a bit of racket. And where I prefer silence for this, but I was able to hear it and not focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
in a way, maybe that's a metaphor for how to deal with thoughts.
It is. And actually, in this practice, there's no distinction between something, a noise from the outside or a noise from the inside. You deal with them both the same way, right? The bird can just be, or you can listen to it. And what happens when you listen to it, then you start getting annoyed and frustrated. And that's when you're rejecting, you know, you can just see the inside of your mind like that. Right. Or it can just be there, you know? So it's the bird or the child or the whatever. So many wonderful images. Well, let me talk through very briefly, just the other method invites us to be more focused, right? So this is the area. The principle is the same. The relationship to thoughts, the attitude, the body, the same. The practice is a little different. This practice invites us to pick a word or a phrase or your breath and repeat it and giving it your full attention, right? You're almost like a mantra. This is very ancient, especially in the Eastern Church with the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And time the saying of this with your breath. So for me, if I were using that phrase, it would be in my mind. We're not saying it out loud right now. In my mind, as I'm breathing in, I'm saying, Lord Jesus Christ, as I'm breathing out, have mercy on me. Or simply breathe in Jesus, breathe out Christ. Or breathe in Shalom, breathe out Shalom. Or breathe in, I often just use the name Jesus, and in which case it's kind of long. Jesus in. And you're giving it your attention. You're paying attention to it. You're not thinking about it. You're not trying to get meaning out of it. You're just giving it your attention, right? Now, what's going to happen? You're going to recognize when your thoughts wander and you're no longer repeating or attending to the prayer word, right? You're going to get lost in that thought. You're chasing the bird in the forest. You've gotten off the chair. You're playing with the kid on the ground. And you wake up and you recognize, oh my goodness, I'm not saying my prayer word. I'm not focusing on this anymore. I'm, you know, playing Legos on the floor with these tantalizing thoughts, right? So the invitation, and this is where it's very similar to what we just did, is to release the thought without judgment. That's just more thoughts, right? So we're not judging it. We're not like, darn it, I got distracted again. No, just release the thought by returning your attention to the prayer word or phrase. I don't know why I wrote that. Again, I need to proofread better, but you get the point. So you return your attention to your breath and the prayer word, and you continue to repeat it, right? Some people find this a little more satisfying, or at least an easier way in, because that notion of just watching your thoughts but not clinging or rejecting them can feel a little tricky, right? It takes a little more, what am I noticing here? But to return to a prayer word and to repeat it again and again, give it your fullest attention, it has a very similar effect. That is, it allows us to release and let go of all the tantalizing thoughts and to be very centered and present. We're still not getting anything done, Sandy. I'm sorry, even though we're repeating a word. We're still not accomplishing anything, and that's really the whole point. So the invitation, choose a word, Jesus, Shalom, peace. Repeat the word, giving it your full attention. Eventually, maybe 300 times in 5 minutes, you'll recognize that you're lost in your thoughts. I call these the four R's of this practice. You'll recognize that your thoughts are lost. And so you release the thoughts, and you do that by returning your attention to the prayer word or phrase, and you repeat it again and again. So you see the subtle difference between this and what we just did. This gives your mind a little more something to do, so to speak. It's a very gentle doing, but at least you're giving your mind your attention to something. You're focusing your awareness rather than just letting your awareness be. And really, both of these practices can fill out a life of meditative communion with God. Neither one is better than the other as well. So we're going to do this for about 3 minutes. I'm just curious if you have any questions. Actually, we'll do it for about two, and then we might go like 2 minutes over today. So just because I want to hear your feedback. So why don't we do this again? Let's just find that comfortable but alert posture. Be sure and mute your microphone if you're unmuted. that comfortable little alert posture, hands in a meaningful position in your lap. And bring your attention to your breath. Feel it coming in and out. And as your breath comes in and out, repeat that word. If you don't have a word, just let it be Jesus Christ. Jesus on the in-breath, Christ on the out-breath, very gently, no effort here, just give it your attention. And continue to do that for the next 2 minutes. When your mind wanders and you stop repeating the word, just recognize it and come back to the word. Release the thought by returning to that sacred word and your breath. Now just wiggle your fingers, open your eyes, let yourself come back to the room where you are, the faces on the screen. And I'm just curious, in the last few minutes we have here, how did that feel different? Did that feel different? Did it feel more comfortable or less confusing or more confusing? How was that?
That works better for me. I think because I'm such a structure person that it was easier to stay focused on my breathing and my phrase.
Right, and when you find yourself lost in thought, it's clear what to do. I come back to this repetition. Okay.
I agree with Drew. It worked better for me. It's like an anchor.
It's a good word for it. Yep. An anchor. Mm-hmm. Well, friends, I'm aware of the time. And this is 3 weeks ago when we started. This is where at least I wanted us to get to, where we'd gotten through a lot of stuff, but we had a chance to at least practice. And then you leave with kind of two ways in to this kind of silence. If you're interested in exploring more, I recommend the two books. They're both in your handouts, but one is called Into the Silent Land by Martin Laird. Into the Silent Land. It's probably my all-time favorite book on contemplative practice. No cliches, easy, beautiful reading, clear instructions, profoundly Christian. Just fabulous. And then the other one was the one we had the paragraph from today, Charles Finley, Christian Meditation. Those will get you a long way in this practice if you want to continue it. And I just want to remind us as well that this is actually a way of practicing a kind of approach to life. The not rejecting or the not clinging allows us, as we practice it in prayer, when we begin to live our lives that way, we become more free. We become more free from our own agendas, free from our own ideologies. And the value of that freedom, we begin here, is that we live in a difficult world and in a difficult time where the challenges are all around. The sense of every morning I could get up and, you know, do 500,000 good things and I hardly know which one to do. And when I'm free and increasingly free, then I can really be attentive to and responsive to God's invitation. So I'm not trying to escape the world when I meditate, but I'm allowing myself to become increasingly free so I can enter the world as kind of God's person in the world, free to love and to serve in ways that might even surprise me, in ways that God is calling. So I hope that you find that to be the case as well. This has been really wonderful for me these 3 weeks. I thank you for this invitation and Sarah for this invitation. And maybe we'll see one another again, and maybe we'll be in person when we do. Who knows?
Thank you, Roger. Thank you so much.